There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question, kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Thursday. Glad to have you along. Live local talk and a phone number, text line 343-0106. Got a lot of text to get to and probably have a lot more after getting another chance to talk to one of my friends who he's still got his 251 area code, but he lives out in Colorado. Bryant Knight, you know him, of course, from Fight or Die and the rowing team. He joins us now to talk about... We'll talk about that, too. But also this Own Any Brute Challenge. Is this a benefit for Fight or Die? What is this process, Brian?
Hey,
man.
Yeah. So, Own Any Route Challenge is a virtual challenge that Fight or Die is putting on. Started August 1st, goes through August 9th, and you know, with all the things that's going on. In our communities around the country, you know, with the COVID and just with the economy and everything, we thought it was a good idea to promote, you know, folks just getting out and exercising and start moving their bodies.
But y'all and do it. So, y'all take it. Y'all okay? Exercise, and then what I want you doing? I mean, y'all going to take things to extreme. You always do. I mean.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you know, for Fight or Die, I mean, we're ocean rowers, so
right.
We train to row an ocean, and the team for this year, I mean, they're getting at it pretty hard, and I've got the following team, they're training pretty hard, and then even our team, our old team, Bo and I are actually going to do the Pacific Ocean in 22, so we're training pretty hard for that.
Holy cow! Okay, I want to get. Now I didn't know anything about that, so I'm gonna have to dig into that. But if people want to take part in this now through the 9th, this is something you can do. Even it's not. I mean, somebody here in Mobile can do it. Somebody in Schenectady can do it. Anywhere, right?
We've got people from all over the country that have signed up for the Own Any Route Challenge, and to sign up, just go to our website, the Fight or Die website. usvetrow.org, and on the front page right there is registration. So if you feel motivated and you want to go out there, get out there and do it, go to our website and sign up.
And do I have to do all the reps you did there, or can I, if I don't happen to be a veteran and you know, somebody who is a high achiever in the physical realm, can I still find something I can do?
Oh, yeah. So this is Own Any Route Challenge, right? And so the intent and the spirit of the challenge is we've got people that get up and they just walk. We've got people that get on their motorcycle. One of our ocean rowers is putting a 100 miles a day on his motorcycle just to get out and to get going. So, there, you know, it's anything. Walk, run, exercise. For me, you know, I'm rowing about, you know, 10,000 meters to, you know, 15,000 meters per day.
Pretty awesome.
So, and then, you know, we also work out, and so people are weightlifting, people are, you know, the what you want to do for the Own Any Route Challenge is whatever you want to do, as long as it's, you know, health. We're promoting, you know, good healthy lifestyle and promoting people to get out there and get going and yeah, so that's what that's the spirit of what we're doing.
And I love, too, let's talk about why we volunteer to do, other than, like, right, the health issue and get out and help ourselves. Let's talk about helping raise funds for veterans' mental health.
Yeah, well, that's what it does. So we are still partnered with Sturm Specialty in Military Psychology at the University of Denver. We're partnered with the Marcus Institute for Brain Health, and that institute works with veterans with traumatic brain injuries and TBI-related issues that go along with that. And, you know, we've also developed, this is a great thing for Fight or Die, it just talks about the growth of Fight or Die, but we have a scholarship program for people that are interested in being in the mental health industry and want to work with veterans. And so we have, we'll be able to literally issue out a scholarship this year because of it. So that's something that we're super proud of, you know, that Fight or Die is doing. Fight or Die is also, we started a veteran mental health first aid course, and right now we're doing it virtually because, you know, people are sort of locked into their homes, but
what do we learn in that? Is that for friends and family of veterans, folks like me? Just like, we don't have to be a veteran.
Yeah.
This is okay. Explain.
Nope.
Like, what do we learn here?
So, you know, it's a program that's based around identifying stresses and those techniques that that help people get through the day. And so there's resiliency training. There's meditation. There's we even talk about yoga. I mean, there's a whole myriad of programs within that first aid program that we're doing. So so that's we're in our initial stages of it. We've I don't know the numbers right offhand, but I want to say we're over 60 veterans and family members that have gone through the program since we started it this year. And so that's really good. it keeps us busy, you know, and we're still a all-volunteer nonprofit. So, you know, we're it's nonstop for us, and we're very proud of that.
Yeah, look what y'all created here. And I want to get into talking about the next time the Whoopi goes across the Atlantic and your Pacific trip here in a second. But are we doing, Brian, are we doing better for, since you and I have been talking about this, since Fight or Die, do you think we as a nation, we, whether it means the VA, whether it means just citizens, are we doing better for mental health issues for the warriors? I mean, what are we doing? Are we doing better than we were? Are we just neutral? Where do you think the progress is or not?
You know, that's a very great, that's a good question. I think there's a lot of parts where I would say the country as a whole and the nation have come together to really surround themselves to help veterans post-deployment, you know, and help identify and work through some of the issues that our veterans go through today. There's always room for improvement. You know, it could be argued that we could do a lot more, and I believe that we can do a lot more. You know, Fight or Die is all about doing more, and that's never going to change. So, you know, for me, if you ask me personally, I'm going to say, yeah, we can do better. But if you look at our generation of warriors, and you look at the generation of warriors that, like my father, during the times of Vietnam and that era, or even further back, you know, the Korean War veterans, they're aging. There weren't a lot of the programs that were in place, you know.
Right.
You had the VA, and not to say anything bad about the VA, because I think the VA does a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of bureaucracy that goes on there. And so, you know, the private sector and the nonprofit sector have really stepped up to help veterans and their communities all over the country. And we're just we're just a small nonprofit still. And, we're just a bunch of, you know, knuckle dragging ocean rowers that are going to keep raising awareness. and, you know, keep identifying programs that work, and we're going to execute. And that's the, if somebody were to say, what's your primary mission? And, I would say that would be that's our primary mission.
Well, having folks like you given a mission, I know it gets done. And that's what's amazing. And I guess for people that have not been following this discussion for some years, there's new people coming to the radio station all the time, Bryant. So let's remind them about what's coming up with Fight or Die. What the heck y'all do? Y'all get in a boat and row? Explain that to people.
Yeah. So, the Fight or Die, we are a group of ocean rowers. We're veterans that compete in the Talisker Whiskey Atlantic Challenge every year. This is will be our third race, and 21 will be our third race. We had to cancel 2020 just because of the pandemic. But, you know, the team is committed. They're working hard to raise money and raise awareness. You know, we have a team for 22. They're an all U.S. Navy Academy team, and they're going to race in 22. We're already working on the 2023 teams. So there's that. But we get in a rowboat that's designed to cross oceans, and we race this race. It's a 3,000-mile race. From Lago Mare, Canary Islands, to Antigua. For my team, it took us 54 days, a little over 54 days to cross and race, to compete in the race. Last year's team, the 2019 team, they were just over 50 days. And, we're getting better and better.
Getting faster, Bryant. They're getting faster, these young whippersnappers.
Well, that's okay. We just wanted to cross the ocean, and we did. And I think if anybody has the will and the willpower to say they want to cross an ocean, and you're already halfway there.
Well said.
But I think now we're getting to more where we want to be competitive. We want to win the race now, and so we're looking at future teams we're American veterans. We can do anything if we put our minds to it. And so we want to be able to win the race one day, and we'll get there. But it's a step-by-step, brick-by-brick process, and you just got to do the hard work, and we'll continue to train hard and continue to execute our mission, and we'll just go from there and see what happens.
Well, I tell you what happens is you got this great, exciting race we get to cheer for. You got training going on right here in back here in your home in South Alabama. And at the same time, mm-hmm. you're bringing awareness and money for our warriors, and making sure that we Americans can do everything we can to say thank you. So you're doing the right thing on all fronts.
Well, I appreciate that. And, I'll just continue to say, if there are veterans out there that want to challenge themselves and want to go out on a great expedition and want to be a part of a Fight or Die team, reach out to us. Go to our website. We try to respond as quickly as possible, and we'll look at the situation, and if it's the right fit, then we'll you qualify to be on a team, then you can be on a fight or die team and cross the ocean, race the race.
Just amazing stuff. Well, we're going to talk again real soon and talk more about getting ready for right. It's always early December. Y'all leave out, right?
December. Yeah, December 12th is okay. Usually the race. Right around there is usually the race time. We give these teams about a year to raise money for their race and prepare themselves. We prepare them. Of course, our training ground is Mobile. Mobile Bay, I think, is we do it in August. We like it to be a little stressful. It's hot. Anybody that your listeners know what it feels like to live in Mobile in August.
I think it's 100 today with the heat index, Bryant. It's 100 back here, so.
Well, I'm in Colorado, and it's about 82
quit,
degrees.
Quit, quit. So. You know I get sick of that. I get sick of that with you. USVetRow.org is the website. My friend Bryant Knight. We'll talk again real soon and get people just check out the website. Do what you can do to help and donate. And let's get another team across even faster than last year. Maybe win this thing eventually, right?
I'd love to do that. And we do love the support that Mobile offers. You know, Mobile is my hometown. Got a lot of family that's still there. You know, it's no matter where we go, it's Mobile is always our home. So we love the fan base that is built up and all the support that we get from the city. And we just want to, you know, represent not only the city of Mobile, but all veterans across the country. We just want to, you know, we just want to be that shining star for inspiration.
And you have been, and you continue to be. Bryant, we'll talk again soon. That's Bryant Knight and the website, usvetrow.org. Fight or die, the team, your chance to do a little physical, you know, exercise, getting out, doing some things now, and raise money for our Warriors as well. More details on our Facebook page. I'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I mean, it's always a great thing we get to talk to Bryant and get him back on the show soon. Yeah, so, I mean, this is, you know, fight or die and the rowing team. We've been talking about them for years now. That row across the Atlantic in the Talisker Whiskey Challenge. They train here, y'all. They train, and the veterans that are on the Whoopi, which is the name of their rowboat, 28-foot rowboat, that they row across the stinking Atlantic. Let me point out again, they're from all over the country, but they come train here. And it's and Bryant's from here, and it's a real great connection to usvetrow.org. I mean, once you go there, you'll see all the different parts of this and what I'm talking about and why it's so special, what they're doing with the Fight or Die team. And Bryant, who was on one of the first teams, the Mobile, just amazing. I mean, 2.5 decades, Army. He ends up special, you know, with Special Forces and Commander. And I don't say stuff when he's on the air with me because he's an amazing guy, an amazing, amazing warrior, and still doing it in the aftermath. He's out and he's making sure that he did it once. He rode across the Atlantic. Now he's, you know, telling other people to do the same thing, veterans, getting them involved, and raising money at the same time for so many issues that, you know, whether traumatic brain injury, PTSD, all the things that are really, really heavy on the shoulders and hearts of our veterans coming home from all over the planet, and those just right here at home. So I just, anything we can do as a community to keep helping out that group, I am 100% behind it. All right, there's so much to get into. Where do we, Dalton, do we want to go to New York goes after the NRA? That was one thing. I can play some of that audio from earlier on. They kind of go after, kind of going after Wayne LaPierre and the NRA. We can get into that. We can also get into this Biden thing. Dalton, we listened to the Biden audio this morning. I guess watched the video. I hadn't realized that Biden, I guess I wasn't listening closely enough because we're getting ready for the morning show. So Dalton and I are in here prepping for the morning show, and I'm watching this video from yesterday. With a Democrat soon-to-be nominee, right, Joe Biden. And it says something that once somebody pointed it out, I'll tell you, I think it's fairly bigoted, fairly bigoted that came out of Joe Biden's mouth. So we'll get that audio. We'll do that. We'll get that audio when we get back. And also look into this NRA story. And whatever else we've missed in the last half hour, you can hop on with that at 343-0106, 343-0106. And I guess if you didn't hear it last hour, congratulations, Brad Ward. You're this week's winner in the FM Talk 106.5 Fish and Photo Contest, brought to you by Sportsman's Marine. Big thank you to them. Brad has won this week's contest. It's okay, though, because week 8 of the Fish and Photo Contest starts right now. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065. Post up your picture, get folks to like it, and maybe this time next week we're talking about you being our big winner.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 1:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. It's Thursday. It's almost the weekend. Dr. Bill still has a couple of dry days in the mix for us. That's good. Get out and enjoy the... What's the heat index right now that we're going to enjoy? I think we're pushing close to 100. Is what I told Brian, because he's checking in. Of course, our guest from earlier, he's checking in from Colorado, where it's not 100 degrees. And heat index of 109 now, Dalton. 109. All right, let's get out and enjoy that. Just soak it up. I mentioned Biden before we went to the break. Couple things here. First of all, I know you know what I'm going to do this chronologically because I think it just works better. So, I mentioned that Dalton and I were watching some video this morning before we get started with Mobile Mornings, and it was from an interview that was done yesterday with CBS's Errol Burnett. It was they had people from NPR, I think. They had people from CBS, Yahoo News. And they were all like, everybody was in their place, right? Socially distanced. They were all in booths and studios elsewhere. And then Joe Biden was in the basement there talking to, they said here, what is the, they describe it as a wide-ranging multi-moderator interview at a conference of Black and Latino journalists. Okay, so there you go. So this is going on. So Biden's going to talk to Black and Latino journalists. So let's roll that first till we get, and then this will set us up for what Biden said today.
President, your opponent in this election, President Trump, has made your mental state a campaign topic. And when asked in June if you'd been tested for cognitive decline, you've responded that you're constantly tested in effect because you're in situations like this on the campaign trail. But please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There can be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental fitness. And to make a judgment about who I am.
So there was the audio from yesterday. Dalton, can we pull the cocaine thing out for the show intro? Let's see this part.
Decline. You've responded that you're constantly tested in effect because you're in situations like this.
Right,
on the
like cut it right
trail.
Here.
But please clarify specifically. Have you taken a cognitive?
No,
test?
No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh?
All right, so like I would like to, we might put that in the new Midday Mobile intro. So, okay, that's yesterday. So I told you I'm keeping this, we're doing the chronology here from last to first, right? So now we move from, that was yesterday, and that was just a little bit of an interview that Joe Biden had with Errol Burnett and some other journalists in it. All right, so let's move forward to today. And so then here's the next part of this story. And maybe if you heard earlier that President Trump was mentioning this, but Biden had a, I know it's former Vice President Biden, and it's not corn pop. Somebody asked me, it's not the corn pop story. It's something brand new. Okay, so let's walk through this. What was said today by Joe Biden? I guess that's like the new game. What did he say today? And yes, there's a lot of stuff coming in. I am going to try to get into the Michelle Obama and the depression. I'm going to try to get in that. All right. So this is from who put this out? Yahoo News had it. All right, Yahoo News had it, but it's up several places. So here's a story from today. So President Trump said Thursday, today, that former Vice President Joe Biden had, quote, totally disparaged and insulted the black community when he compared African-American attitudes with those of Hispanics. In an interview at a conference of black and Latino journalists that aired Thursday morning, Biden was asked to whether he would extend temporary protective status, TPS, for immigrants seeking asylum in the United States from a variety of Latin American countries. Okay, so here's a quote. Yes, Biden said, when NPR's Lulu Garcia Navarro asked him if he'd re-engage with Cuba. And by the way, he continued, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things. You go to Florida and you find a very different attitude about immigration in certain places than you do when you're in Arizona. End quote. Okay. Now, this is what started a lot of jabber-jawing going on today about this. So always let me pick this apart. First of all, if you take just the middle of this gaffe sandwich delivered by Joe Biden, it's actually true what Joe Biden said. It's actually true that if you take the part about the Latino community, without the preamble, you know, the Latino community does have incredibly diverse. I don't know how diverse you have to be incredibly diverse, but yes, it is. It's a frustration I've had over time when people lump, you know, all Latino people together and say, the Germans, you know, they're just like the English, you know, those Irish and Austrians. I mean, it's so, yes, there's, I don't know about the incredibly part, but he said, you know, the Latino community is incredibly diverse in a community with incredibly different attitudes about different things. I mean, that's a bunch of pablum, but he's getting to the fact that it's a diverse, yes, it is. You know, you're talking about just pick two countries. Pick, you know, pick Cuba and pick Mexico. Okay? Pick about opinions from first-generation American Cubans and first-generation Mexican Americans, right? But even within those communities, there's a bunch of different opinions because they're human beings. All right. But it's the preamble here. Did y'all hear it? So Biden says, and by the way, remember he was asked about this, if he would extend temporary protective status for immigrants seeking asylum in the U.S. from a variety of Latin American countries. Yes, he said he'd re-engage with Cuba on the topic. And then here's Biden goes, and by the way, what you all know, but most people don't know, unlike the African-American community, with notable exceptions, the Latino community is incredibly diverse community. But okay, we read all that part. So I guess to former Vice President Joe Biden, Latino community is diverse. There's a lot of different opinions out there, different attitudes. African-American community, you don't. Black folks, you have like no different. You do not have a let's see, what is it? An incredibly diverse opinions with incredibly different attitudes and different things. Latinos have that, but according to Joe Biden, if your skin is black, somehow your ability to have different opinions from different people that have the same skin color as you do, it doesn't exist. Now, Latinos, they got that, according to Joe Biden. Black folks don't. Like I said, in this gaffe sandwich, it was fixed up here by Biden for us, in the gaffe sandwich, the part about Latino community having different attitudes about different things is true. But you could fill in any other group and say, people there. But I guess according to Joe Biden, who really, you know, I mean, the reason Joe Biden is the nominee, right, were black voters in South Carolina. And I guess he says, you know, I won there and everybody had the same attitude about me. They voted for me. So he would say something like, unlike the African-American community, with notable exception, Latino community is an incredibly diverse community with incredibly different attitudes about different things. So there you go. Today's gaffe sandwich. You had the cognitive decline audio from yesterday, and then you got this doozy on the that's now bubbled up to the top on this. All right, I tell you what, I'm going to link this story up over on the Twitter feed. Find me at FM Talk 106.5. I'd like to hear about that. I mean, I probably won't get many opinions or different opinions from black folks out there because, unlike the Latino community, you obviously don't have many different takes. I find that fascinating. By the way, like I said earlier in the show, too, because we have a lot of new people come to station. When I say, don't take me literally on everything I say. Do you understand there's satire there and lament? You do get that part, right? All right, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
You know what? I'll put that up on the Twitter feed as well. I'll have to go because we'll have to get to that maybe on tomorrow's show. Yeah, a couple things I've been stacking up here. By the way, hey, it's Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Hey, y'all, I'm Sean. By the way, too, you can get in touch with us, 343-0106. Now, you may not want to call in on this subject, but sometime today, tomorrow, sometime during the 52 hours a week of live local programming that comes from the studio, you may want to chime in. So maybe in your contacts, just put in FM Talk 106.5, phone number 343-0106. If y'all are new to the area, that'd be a 251-343-0106. So put that in the phone, give us a call. By the way, big thank you. The Nappies released yesterday, Nappy Awards, and your favorite morning show for Mobile Mornings with Dalton and me and Dr. Bill and Kane and all the people we have on the show. So big thank you to that and favorite DJ team, Dalton and me. Y'all are in 5 years in a row for favorite morning show. So thank you for your votes on that. We really do appreciate it. It does means a lot. It's a great thing. It's a great thing. We get to keep a job, which is an even greater thing. All right. So I'm going to get, I'm going to revisit that. I did see the story here, and I'll get back to the Biden thing in a second, but I did see the story here from our buddy John Sharp from AL.com that had, here, let me find this thing, because it's worth listening to real fast. I want to read just a little bit of this, and we'll get to more of this on tomorrow's show. Headline here is, who will make Alabama students wear masks and social distance? Because we talked about masks with Dr. Randy Murphy from the Mobile County Health Department. I know Jeff Poor on his show had two different guests he was talking mask with as well. And so in John Sharp's story, he goes on to talk about the Baldwin County school system. Back, it says, in June of 2018, the Baldwin County school system unveiled a $1.5 million plan to add 16 new trained police officers at its campuses to beef up security following that year's tragic shooting at Florida's Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, in which 17 students and faculty were killed. We remember that story. Remember all the discussions we had here on the show, how Baldwin County could have armed SROs, Mobile County Public School System can't. It's a whole discussion. So John goes in here, his next paragraph. 2 years later, however, those same school resource officers, SROs, will not be enlisted to fight against an invisible threat at schools. SROs will not be charged with enforcing the order issued by Alabama Governor Kay Ivey and State Health Officer Dr. Scott Harris that requires most students to wear masks and all of them to keep 6 feet of social distance from others to protect against COVID-19. Right. So what John's pointing out is the people that we want in our schools, armed SROs to protect our children, they will protect from other things, but they will not be enforcing the state law, right? The state law, the governor's mandate on masks. This is why I think this erodes, and don't miss on, there'll be somebody like, I don't want them telling my kid to wear a mask. I get it, but understand how the system works. If you are going to have an order out there, and I understand there's discretion in enforcement, but across the board, you go through, you make a mandate, and then you don't enforce it. What was the point of making it a mandate then? Just make it a directive. Just have press conferences and tell people how good of an idea it would be for them to wear a stinking mask. Goes on, John says here, Eric Mackey, state superintendent, has echoed Ivey's past calls over the last month. The statewide, agreeing with the statewide mask mandate, which carries potential from up to a $500 fine that they don't give anybody. He says it will not be enforced through citations and punishment. He said the approach will be more educational, stress the importance of wearing masks as well as the seriousness of the virus, which I agree with that part of it. But in schools, they're saying that that is the rule in the school. But SROs can't enforce it. They can't do anything about it. So that leaves it to the teacher, right? All the mayhem comes from that. Because this will pop up. We'll talk more about that coming up tomorrow. All right, and then I guess we'll have to get to the NRA story tomorrow. Other than the fact, if you didn't hear it earlier, New York's Attorney General seeks to dissolve the NRA. It's a little more complex than that. AP writes, New York's Attorney General sued the National Rifle Association today, seeking to put the powerful gun advocacy organization out of business over allegations that high-ranking executives diverted millions of dollars for lavish personal trips, no-show contracts for associates, and other questionable expenditures. Okay, let's just say for a second that's all true. Then you go after the people that did that, right? But no, they're going to go after the organization, of course, politically. Attorney General Letitia James's lawsuit filed in state court in Manhattan after an 18-month investigation highlighted misspending and self-dealing allegations that have roiled the NRA and its longtime leader, Wayne LaPierre, in recent years, from hair and makeup for his wife to a $17 million post-employment contract for himself. Simultaneously, the Washington, D.C. Attorney General sued the NRA Foundation, the charitable arm of the organization, decided to provide programs for firearm safety, marksmanship, hunting safety, and accusing it of diverting funds to the NRA to help pay for lavish spending by its top executives. Now, listen, this is one of these things of interest. If you're an NRA member, right, and you're putting your money in because you believe in their work to support the Second Amendment, that's one thing. If it comes out that so much of your money was going to this other stuff, which we haven't proved yet, but there's a lot of discussion of it, then I think it'll be a self-correcting problem. I think people will say, you know, NRA, I don't know if I'm going to give you what I did before. I don't know if I'm going to be a member this year. You better show me that you're cleaned up before. But no, that's not enough for these groups because they're trying to shut down. They're shutting down the charitable arm. They're shutting down the gun safety program. What is it, Eddie the Eagle? They're going to shut Eddie the Eagle down. Because New York and Washington, D.C. hate the NRA that much. So there you go. So this is just a primer on some of the things we'll be talking about tomorrow. By the way, the podcast of this show goes up here. Actually, hour number one is already up there right now. If you want to go check out my discussion with Dr. Rendy Murphy from the Mobile County Health Department, asked a whole bunch of questions about coronavirus, how it's being dealt with, and when we talk about coronavirus numbers, What's a positive case? What if somebody dies? They have coronavirus, but they got run over by a backhoe. How did they get filed? All this we've talked about here, the mask, the efficacy of mask, all that was asked in the first hour. That podcast is available for you over at fmtalk1065.com. Just click the podcast tab, or better yet, subscribe at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or Spotify. All right, Feinbaum, we'll let him do his thing. He's up next.